So welcome to the South Jordan Planning Commission meeting for Tuesday, May 28th, 2024, with the exception of Commissioner Catmull. We are all present. We can operate with a quorum of three, so we are set to do business this evening. We'd like to thank both applicants and members of our community for joining us this evening. Your participation in the process is always appreciated. We'd also like to recognize staff that's here to support this evening, this meeting this evening as well. With that, our first item for this evening is a motion to approve our agenda as published. Commissioners, any comments, modifications? Okay.
Madam Chair, I move to approve this evening's agenda as published.
Thank you, Commissioner Gedge. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Our next item is to approve our minutes from our May 14th Planning Commission meeting. Any comments, corrections? Okay.
I'll move that we approve the minutes from the May 14th, 2024 meeting.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Bivens. I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, staff, do you have any business for us this evening before we get started?
No.
Okay. Commissioners, any business for us?
I'll just give a quick council report. I attended last week's meeting. It was pretty intense meeting just because they had the budget, which was approved for next year. They also went over just all of this week's summer fest events, so including the parade preview that we're missing this evening. So that was nice of them to schedule that and exclude us. No, just joking. But they did review and approve the accessory dwelling unit amendment that we reviewed a couple meetings ago. And then there's a couple other meetings, including the rezone of the property that's adjoining mine that we heard two meetings ago as well. And then, of course, a street vacation. So it was a good meeting. And like I mentioned earlier, I think the entire Bingham High School civics class was in attendance that evening. So it was very well attended.
Getting their credit. All right. Commissioners, I actually do have one item. I believe Mr. Schaefermeyer copied all of you on we had talked about not allowing any public comment on specific items during our public comment time. We've always followed what City Council does, but I've been informed that City Council is allowing public comment via Zoom on specific agenda items. And so I open it up to you to discuss if we want to leave how we behave the way we discussed 2 weeks ago, or if we'd like to continue to follow City Council.
I prefer to follow City Council.
Okay.
City Council as well, and where they don't allow it via general comments, right. And we don't afford general comments. Right. I knew we were going to reconsider that, but I think with the way we currently operate, it's fine to follow City Council on published agenda items that have public
comment. Okay. So if everybody's in agreement, and let's do a motion. I move that we allow public comment on specific agenda items via the Zoom format as long as they enable both their audio and visual capabilities on Zoom so that we can see who's addressing us.
Can we be specific and say agenda items that have public hearings attached?
I will accept that.
And I will second that motion.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. So Mr. Day, we will need Zoom during public comment. Thank you today. Staff, I've either forgotten or never noticed the agenda section. Is that new? It's lowercase, and so I'm curious if I've just never noticed what we do under that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's.
Anna did change the format for the council, so that may be something she's added.
I've never seen it either, and they might all those should be in all caps too. So.
All right.
I'll figure out what it's supposed to be and how many minutes is the right.
Thank you.
I think I know what it's supposed to be.
Okay. Well, then just. For formality, we have nothing under the agenda section or the summary action section, but we do under G, which is action. We tabled an item 2 weeks ago, G1, the conditional use permit for a temporary parking lot at 1602 West, 114 South. Miguel, we asked you to do some research about an agreement, an access agreement on that property. So we'll turn the time over to you.
So staff is bringing back this conditional use permit for a temporary parking lot. So last meeting, the document was a shared access agreement between the property owners immediately to the north and the city. And after review of that and with some counsel from legal, some of the findings we had are the shared access agreement does not prevent the proposed lease from the city to Travis Farron for the conditional use permit, the conditional use of a temporary parking lot. The city can lease the property to Mr. Farron and still fulfill the obligations and purposes of the shared access agreement. The proposed temporary parking lot will not impede access to the property located at 1600 West, 1400 South. And the proposed parking lot will not result in violation of the city's land use ordinance or temporary use regulations. So based on that and based on the original staff report findings, staff is bringing back recommending or seeking approval of this conditional use permit.
Thank you. So I'm going to start with Commissioner Gedge's questions, and he may have emailed these to you as well.
Commissioner Cabin.
I am off today. It's probably because I can see you out of my peripheral vision.
All right. Commissioner Catmull sent me an email saying that it's not clear to him that a temporary parking lot or a parking lot can be a conditional use of any zone. He didn't think that it was clearly laid out in the packet as a finding. And then he indicated normally we get a bulleted list of findings that say a specific use is allowed in a zone if a conditional use is granted. So he was hoping for clarification there.
Yeah, so parking and parking facilities are not an allowed use in the A5 zone, which this property is located in. Not a permitted use or a conditional use, but this falls under temporary use. So under the temporary use regulations with a conditional use permit, this can be, well, the exact language is temporary uses that exceed 60 days in duration or are not similar to allowed primary uses in the zone may only be authorized with a conditional use permit. And that's...
Okay. And this is the document you've placed in front of us with the code. Okay. All right. And then just for the commission's sake, Commissioner Catmull also said... he believes that we can make a conditional use permit expire after a period of time and that he would like to see that happen on this item. So that could be a part of the conditional use when we make our motion. Commissioners, other questions for staff discussion that we need to have on this item? Please.
Just for clarity for the public, but the shared access agreement, which the, well, thanks staff and legal for reviewing, that's more along the lines of an easement and not ownership, correct? Because I know we've had some other questions on applications in the past. In the past, that the neighbors have thought that easement equals ownership of them. That just gives them permission as an or as an easement, does not transfer ownership. Is that correct, my understanding?
Well, not to go back to law school too much, but every property has a bundle of rights. And... the rights that the that belong to Diana Ziska and Nancy Lowry, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, are spelled out in the shared access easement. And it is an easement, but it's also a little bit more than that. It's the right to access the properties across, you know, it's a mutual reciprocating right. But I just want to say we really appreciate the opportunity. I think the commission made a wise decision to table the matter and give us the opportunity, because I hadn't seen the agreement before, and I wanted to make sure that the city could honor all the rights of the joint access agreement and still be able to honor the obligations that they would be undertaking with the temporary parking lot. And we made and offered the opinion that the city can do that. And so that's why Miguel incorporated that finding into the findings that are in the report.
Thank you, Mr. Simonson. Just sorry, Madam Chair, a couple more that I have. Mm-hmm. So I was driving by this property over the weekend, and this might be for Jeremy. I know engineering is signed off on fire, but are there any concerns if we do squeeze the 28 proposed parking stalls in there with fire access in the shared access agreement? in that little lane, or could we find that it's a potential detriment to make the conditional use permit that we're reviewing this not subject to prohibit, you know, parking there by either barriers or other, you know, barriers to go in place. My concern is cars are going to park there. You know, is 28 going to be enough? Obviously, I think it was testified last time that people were parking on Beckstead. So I'm just, how do we protect access to the adjoining properties, you know, especially in with public safety?
The city's not entered into the agreement yet with the Farron Group for this parking lot, but I think that's certainly something that could be worked into the agreement to maintain that fire access. And, you know, if they don't maintain it, then it's a violation and the city could choose not to allow it any longer, would be my recommendation or our recommendation.
Great. And then probably Mr. Simon, so that's something that if we determine to be a detriment, that's something we could put a condition on the conditional use permit as a possible mitigation towards the detriment that we've determined.
Yes, I believe you could.
Thank you. And then the last question, I don't know if it's Jeremy or Miguel, but again, small amount of property, 28 proposed parking stalls. How did we measure each parking stall in length and width? Just 28 seemed very, very or a lot for that space.
It looks like the stalls are 9 feet wide and 18 feet deep, which that's tight, you know, that's tight spacing, but can be done. A car can be parked in 9 feet.
Okay. So Madam Chair, when the rest of the commission has to testify, along with Commissioner Catmulls, about the time length of the conditional use permit that we're considering, also to preserve the parking, shared parking access agreement for the neighboring properties, but also I'm a little concerned about the number of stalls there, especially if it's oversized vehicles or people are pulling trailers, or to avoid some of the issues that might come to play with having that many vehicles on that property. So that's all I have at this time.
Commissioner Bishop?
I was just thinking that if we were to grant this conditional use, that, you know, besides the critical emergency access, I think we would want to require that area not be blocked just to comply with the shared use agreement. Is that fair? Yeah.
To add to that, I had a popular parking spot when I lived in Salt Lake and would often find it blocked, and well, to the person blocking me, it was just 5 minutes. It got incredibly aggravating to have it be day after day. So I'm with you that we need to somehow ensure that that's always open, and whether that be signage or curbing or a red something, just to make it incredibly clear and visible, because it's incredibly aggravating when for you it's day after day, and even if it's just for a few minutes. So I agree with you. This way? I guess you were in on our last meeting. Did you have questions?
Of course I have questions. Thank you. And some of my questions may have been answered last time, but specifically for legal, what is the definition of a nuisance? And to whom would the nuisance apply in point two? It says a temporary use shall not cause or create a nuisance or hazard and shall conform to all requirements of this title.
Well, you've kind of stumped me. There is a definition in our code, and it generally talks about things such as noise, noxious odors, things that that inherently cause somebody else to the habitability of their property is affected by a nuisance, and it could be a wide range of things. It is something that I noticed as I evaluated it, but again, I believe that the rights under the shared access agreement can be preserved and still use the property for a temporary parking lot.
Thank you. And then a second question. I'm just noticing the discrepancy in the time where the lease with the city is meant to be 24 to 36 months proposed, whereas the temporary use permit shall not exceed 60 days.
But if it does,
right,
then you have to get a conditional use permit.
Right, which is what I assume they're going for. And I was just curious as to, you know, given the discrepancy in the time there, would the length of time, given that it requires the conditional use permit, have any bearing on the amount of nuisance caused?
I don't see how it would. No. Can I offer one other thought?
Please.
Conditional use permits can be revoked if they're not being lived up to. And that can come before you if the owners of the shared access agreement come to the city and say, hey, we're having this problem and this problem. You know, people are not parking where they're supposed to park. They're blocking things. It's going to be up to the, I'm sure under the lease agreement, it's going to be up to the lessor and the lessee, for that matter, to make sure that the shared access agreement is honored, not just with platitudes, but with actual access. And if it becomes a problem, it can actually come back to you for revocation. I would hope it wouldn't go that far, because I'm sure, as Mr. Nilsson has said, we will draft, I'm sure, protections in the lease agreement that will address those issues.
Thank you.
Just a couple questions. I know we're approving the conditional use permit. Is this going to come back to us for a site plan, or are we done with it after this point?
I don't believe so, since this is a temporary use, but Greg, if it's temporary, I don't believe we're going to see a site plan, correct?
If it's a temporary use, then it has to be done over in 60 days. It's no longer temporary. So the conditional use is because it's not going to be temporary. So yes, they would have to go through a site plan review. The city would have to submit that for site plan if they intend to have that in a more permanent, you know, it's... Yeah, so it's going to be more than temporary, because, and maybe not, you know, by definition, but it may not be actually permanent. It may go away, but still, it should go through the Planning Commission for review. That it's not much to look at on a parking lot, because I don't know if we have any real specific requirements of what has to be around the parking lot, since it's... It's an interesting use there for it.
Okay, so if there's issues with stall size, we can address that at site plan, I would assume. My last question, as I was thinking through this for the next 36 months, will the lessee be responsible for snow removal on the property, and will they be required to retain that on the property rather than push it elsewhere?
Perhaps that can be one of the conditions in the lease agreement that we can inform Don Tingey of including.
Okay.
a couple other questions got raised by some of the questions and answers. So you said on the possible revocation of CUP, and this could be for any CUP revocation, you said it would come before this body. Is it this body or the city council that would have that hearing?
Revocation of a conditional use permit comes before the planning commission.
Okay, just we've at least not had one on my time on the body, so that's great to know. And sorry, that was it. That the other one escaped my mind.
All right, commissioners, if I've understood the conversation correctly, have identified a couple of things. The first is that we would specify that this is a temporary use for up to a maximum of 36 months, that we would like fire access to be maintained, that we would like markings to ensure access to the adjacent property, that snow removal would be included as part of maintaining the area and avoiding creating nuisances or hazards. There is one item under section A3 of what staff provided us that calls out hours of operation. Is that something that we should address? I think we talked about hours of operation last time, Miguel, but it's not in the report this time, and so I'm not remembering.
to 9 p.m. is what I believe they told me.
Do you know what the county's noise ordinances are on a weekday? 10 p.m. What about in the morning? Is it 7 a.m.?
7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay. Commissioners, any thoughts on that?
Sounds like a nuisance to me.
Do we just cite all city or... like we typically might have that language in some of our motions, that any city health department or county ordinances are satisfied? Because then if it's different sound ordinance on weekends or, mm-hmm. At least we're not, if that changes in the future. Okay. And the other, I'm sorry, I thought of was on the site plan question where, one thing I'd like to come back to this body where the city is technically the owner of the property, and so that way it's not done administratively. Is that something that we want to see so it comes back and is not something that be done administratively, but basically the owner is reviewing the final site plan.
Meaning you want that to come back before this commission body, review? Yeah,
so that the applicant's not reviewing their own application. Or approving their own application.
Mr. Simonson, any thoughts on that? Is that an appropriate thing to request? That this panel sees the final agreement before issuing the conditional use permit?
I'm going to tell you what Ryan Luce, my boss, would say. Okay. He would say that he doesn't want either staff in general or the Planning Commission to be making reviews of legal documents that the city has drafted. And so, yes, you can, as Mr. Schindler has said, and I didn't know the answer to this, I'm glad Greg was here, that you'll get a site plan review, but it's not like you're going to be able to get an agreement in front of you and start editing the agreement.
Do you feel like a site plan?
Yeah, just the process so that there's another set of eyes before the public comment, just our normal process, and where the unique position where the city is the applicant, technically, because of the ownership of the property.
Do you feel like we've stated clearly enough what our recognized nuisances or impacts are, so that the conditions that we're imposing are
incredibly wrong, but I think we've identified some detriments. Mm-hmm. We've come up hopefully with some conditions to mitigate that, And of course, there's a process if the applicant does not, or the applicant and or the lessee doesn't meet those. Luckily, in this situation, the city is the owner of the property. Mm-hmm. So they would be the ones that have to enforce it on themselves. And so it would probably be more timely remedy than with other properties. So hopefully that will protect the concerns that have been raised this evening or in our previous meeting.
Okay. Everybody feel good about what we've identified in the mitigations? Is somebody willing to tackle a motion that captures those?
No, but I would like to say one thing. I'm going to leave that to Nate. He's much better at the technicalities of it. Just looking at this, I'm glad we're going to see this at site plan. And I have not looked very closely at our code for parking lots, so planning, if I'm way off, tell me. But based on my prior knowledge, a lot of places require some sort of median in between two stalls that are coming directly at each other. They require some sort of median in between. I'm not seeing that here, so some of those things may be.
They do have the concrete blocks drawn in this image.
Yeah, but like an actual.
Sure.
Anyway, I would like to see a little more in this parking lot where everything is so tight. It just seems there's not a lot of room for error. And I will leave it to Nate.
Madam Chair, if there's no other anything from the commission, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Please.
Based on our discussion and the evidence and testimony provided at our public hearing 2 weeks ago and our discussion this evening, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve the conditional use permit file number PLCUP20240051. However, having identified various detriments as discussed, I move that the conditional use permit have the following conditions: that all city, county, and health department rules, regulations, laws, and or ordinances will be adhered to, that the shared access agreement between neighboring properties will be honored with signage and or physical barriers that will be presented in the site plan phase.
Fire access.
To ensure that proper fire access and other public safety and access to the property of the neighboring properties can be maintained.
Snow removal.
Oh, and that all required city services, including snow removal and or garbage collection, are the requirement of the owner of the property and or its lessees.
And
it expires in 36 months.
Yeah. Oh, and also that the length of the temporary use permit through this conditional use is limited to a maximum of 36 months from the date of a final approval.
Site plan approval. From when the lease begins.
That's fair.
Okay. I have 36 months from the commencement of the lease.
All right, commissioners, we have a motion. Any discussion? Okay. I will second that then, Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollist?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Yes.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay. That item passes 5-0. We'll expect to see it again at site plan where we can make sure all of those conditions have been met.
Do we need to give just a brief summary for those in attendance of what we did approve? Or I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Okay.
Okay. We're now going to move to our administrative public hearings. Under this section, the staff will present their report for each item, and there will be an opportunity for public comment after each of these items. At that time, if you've joined us this evening to speak to that item, the commission will give you 3 minutes to present your evidence and address the commission with your concerns. We just ask that at that time you'll state your name and where you reside for our records. As we discussed at the beginning of the meeting, after those that are present in person have had an opportunity to address the commission, we'll turn to our Zoom format. And if you will turn on your camera and your audio, you will also have an opportunity to present evidence to the commission. And with that, Oh, one other item for administrative public hearings. We are the final deciding body. We don't have any legislative public hearings. When we have those types of items, those are items that the city council is the final decider for. So with that, we're going to start with item H1, a conditional use permit for Simplicity Laser, and Miguel has our staff report.
So this is Simplicity Laser conditional use permit. This is a hair removal business, a service servicing about 20 to 30 clients they anticipate at max 50. It's just down here on Town Center Drive. I think they've already started the inside remodeling. So they have said that their business operations will be 6 days a week from Monday to Saturday between the hours of 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. They only intend to do hair removal laser services as of right now. They are showing, I think I put it in here, but if not, yeah. They are showing 3 exam rooms, a nurse's station, a bathroom, and just some, I think that's a break room in the back, so it's not that big of a space. And apart from that, that is the only other situation going on with, parking is not going to be an issue because there's already existing parking in the front and back. And based on this use, we anticipate about 9 required parking stalls, which they can find in the local parking lots right there. And so because of the use and the zoning, it requires a conditional use permit, but there are other personal and health and beauty services on that street, including Sharky's Kids and Elements Massage. So based on that, staff recommends that the Planning Commission approved this conditional use permit.
Okay, thank you. So with a conditional use permit, we can also impose, if we find any detriments, mitigating factors. Has it been considered to include potentially window treatments, coverings for privacy?
So I'm not sure if the applicant is here, but perhaps they can, once we let them know that the city would like that, if that's going to be something that, if there aren't any windows or if there...
Window treatments are under the sign ordinance, and they can't cover their windows or make them opaque unless, they'd have to go get some special approval for that. I don't know if anybody... I don't think their exam rooms are open to the public. They're beyond...
It does look like that. Okay. Yeah. Then that's not actually a concern I have. Commissioners, questions for staff?
Okay, sorry. So conditional use permit and the use is health and beauty services. And so even though this is laser hair removal, if we were to approve this conditional use permit for health and beauty service lies with this property unless revoked. Or so what other types of services fall under health and beauty? Could it be a clinic? Could it be, barber? I mean, what are the type of, just so the public knows, the other types of uses that a future occupant of this property could do under this conditional use permit?
So with health and beauty services, I'll have to look at that definition again, but that includes personal services, which this would be as well, so that haircuts, to other types of beauty services would fall under that. Barbershops, massage therapy, photography, tanning salons, tattoo parlors, those types of services. As far as the conditional use, I'm not sure if a future occupant would need another conditional use permit for a future personal space.
So if I could comment on that, what future uses may go there is not really relevant to this conditional use permit because that would have to be completely separately evaluated at that time.
But something under health and beauty service that was just listed by Miguel would fall under this conditional use permit, correct? Or is it restricted to only laser hair removal?
I think that the scope of the permit is laid out in the staff report. And I don't think that, again, what other thing, you're only making a decision on what's before you.
That seems contrary to everything, at least my 5 years on the South Jordan Commission, we've been told that the CUP lies with the property, and we've had this discussion almost with every CUP that has come before us. So I'm just a little
I know what Commissioner Gidge is saying. Like, let's use a restaurant as an example. That's probably a little clearer. Just being concerned, not concerned, but clarifying that if you approve a CUP for a restaurant or a drive-through, it will stay with that property forever, regardless of the kind of restaurant.
If you're sitting, but what I understood Commissioner Gedge's comment to be was what other beauty services could be there. So if you're gonna get a conditional use permit for a restaurant, I don't know what the why you would need a conditional use permit, and maybe certain zones, but you don't know the reasons. And so if you get another restaurant, it may need an additional conditional use permit. It may not. But if I understood Commissioner Gedge correctly, what he is looking at is other beauty uses that are in that may require a conditional use permit. And what I'm saying is that other beauty uses that are beyond what's in this application are not something that you are considering as part of this application. So I don't mean to in any way demean Commissioner Gidge's many years of outstanding service on the Planning Commission, but that's the distinction that I'm drawing right there.
So you can confirm. I think his concern is just let's be aware of everything we might potentially be covering. And so you're saying that like a massage parlor they would need to come for their own because that's different enough than what we're approving tonight?
It's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Thank you. That is my concern. So thank you for clarifying that. So.
All right. Did you have anything else this way? Okay. Is Mr. Jeffs the applicant present this evening? Is there anything you would like to add to the staff report at this time? And if we ask you just come to our podium so that it gets recorded.
Yeah, of course. Commissioners and staff, thank you for allowing me to be here. I don't know if this is the venue. I just want to thank you for this opportunity. I started this company 15 years ago in South Jordan, down the river bottoms. We moved down to Utah County. So this is kind of full circle for me to be able to come back and open a clinic here. All we do is laser hair removal. We have 25 locations across the Western United States now in 7 different states. Super happy about the South Jordan property. It's actually, to your point, Miguel, Mr. Aguilera, it's actually completed. We just got the final inspection last week. We're ready to open very excited about it. We're excited to be here in South Jordan and for what we'll be able to provide and some of the jobs we'll be able to bring.
Okay. Commissioners, while he's up here, any questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. At this time, I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to address the commission on this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium where you'll have 3 minutes to address the commission and present your evidence. Okay, we're going to offer the same opportunity to those online. If you're online and you would like to address the commission on this item, we'd ask that you turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody online either. So I'm going to close public comment and bring this back to the commission. Commissioners, I feel like there are similar uses in this area. It's actually becoming quite a common use. And so I guess I don't see any issues. I appreciate staff addressing the parking. That's always one of our hottest items, so thank you for being right on top of that.
I am all for this. I'm excited not to drive to Fort Union anymore, so.
Are you quiet?
Thank you.
Are you quiet? You don't have to answer. We have a location for you.
But yes, I think this will be a very good addition to our city. I know they've started here, so it is nice to see you guys come back into the city, so. I think this is a great addition to the area.
All right. Apparently the men don't use this service as much. All right. I think I'm ready for a motion then.
I'll motion and get back to it. Based on our discussion tonight, Madam Chair, I move that the Planning Commission approve file number PLCUP 2024-00075. Based on the findings and facts and conclusions in this report.
Okay, we have a motion, discussion. All right, I'll second that. Ms. Valdez. Okay.
Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Gedge?
Aye.
And Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
Okay.
This item passes 5-0. Mr. Jeffs, we wish you all the best. Thank you for participating tonight. That's always so appreciated.
Thank you so much.
All right, our next item this evening is H2, Dominion Energy Fail-Safe Value Site Plan, and Andrew has our staff report.
Thank you, Commissioner. We're heading over to 9800 South and Temple Drive. Coming off of this location map, the full property is what you see outlined in black. And then the actual area of the site plan for Dominion site is what you see outlined in red. On the zoning, it is split between the R2.5 but the A5, but staff doesn't see an issue with that. The entire site is enclosed entirely within the A5 area of the site. And our code no longer requires that the utility services needs conditional use permits in areas. They just have to go through the site plan process. Before you is the site plan of the application. You can see that they are fully enclosed facility with two main gates, one coming off of 1300 West and a rear gate to the west, just in case they need an emergency access if something was to go wrong. Two man doors on the same locations. They will be landscaping as well. Our code requires that they fence it. Here you can see it is a solid masonry fence, 8 feet tall, and totally screened from view from the public right away from the road and from the pedestrian sidewalk. They are set back about 11 feet from the back of sidewalk. And everything that you do see along the frontage of their side of the A5 part will be landscaped with the decorative boulder example that you see in the bottom right, right there with some small brushes where they could fit those in. The park strip, our code does require, however, that park strip is heavy in other utility conduits that it would make it complicated to landscape it with trees and other materials and would conflict with those services and likely result in them being ripped out, which neither party would like to see happen. And so we are still requiring it be landscaped, but we will allow them to use their boulder and landscaping rock in that area as well, just so that we can maintain weeds and appearances as well without the rest of the property. In addition to that, they also aren't installing any additional lighting services on the property, whether it be inside the compound or outside as well. And then they will be paving their access, a new access approach off of 1300 West to their gates. And staff is recommending approval.
All right, commissioners, questions? Let's start at this end.
Okay, I have a really dumb question. Can you go back to the zoning map? I know we're not looking at Redwood, but what is that 9801 Redwood Road label there for?
I think it's a GIS error.
What was the question? I looked into this, actually.
Is that just a particular section of... I mean, I know we're really close to Merritt. Is that just...
That particular section of Shields Lane is actually owned by the city. It is a parcel.
Okay.
As a parcel, it is given an address. The address that has been assigned to that is 9801 South Redwood Road.
Interesting. Okay.
Other than that, it has no relationship to the,
okay,
to the road itself.
This may be a question for the applicant, but what is the purpose of an energy fail-safe valve? That's more of a question for the applicant,
engineer,
I'm assuming.
I don't know. Maybe the engineer.
The applicant can explain further, but as it's been explained to staff, they need to meet federal and state regulations in case of severe disaster emergency. They could shut off the whole region's or immediate area's gas and keep it from exploding several blocks.
Are there any other of these within our city boundaries, or is this the first one?
I believe this is the first one I can recall.
We have other facilities in the city, but I don't know if it's this.
Of this type. in magnitude. It's the first time I recall, but they do have other facilities, yes.
Okay.
In the documentation, it mentions that properties are not allowed to span two zones, although this one does, the A5 and the R2.5. I understand this building will be solely on the A5. Staff, legal, anybody foresee any problems with building something that is A5 approved next to the R2.5 on the same lot?
No, they won't be able to do anything else with the property. It's not large enough.
So the 2.5, the R2.5 at that point is just is what it is?
Right now.
Okay.
Is that it for you?
Andrew, why did you put in the comment after what Mr. Wimmer just described as unknown to the city, it's possible that a consolidation document was recorded with the county? That seems like a strange comment.
There was, because it is weird that the way that this zoning was set up originally, the city does own the rest of the R2.5 zone that's adjacent to the Shields Lane curve, and then Jordan Valley owns the rest of A5 south of them, those two parcels, and there was an agreement in place between everyone on who could do what with the property that involved Merit Medical before they sold to Dominion, and we were under the understanding that it was one whole parcel, and then for some reason, all the records are indicating it's two. So, but it's not part of a recorded subdivision, so we wouldn't know if documents were recorded that would have consolidated or done something that we typically might have oversight over if it was a recorded subdivision.
How does this change, or is it the 9816 property that has utilities? I feel like there's already utilities in this location. Is it north or south of what
this south lot?
Okay.
Jordan Valley Water Conservation is the...
Okay.
The house is no longer there. They're the full two parcels now.
Okay. And then I just wanted to clarify that for an item under our administrative agenda, as long as all city ordinances have been met, we as a body do not have discretion to impose conditions unless evidence is presented that would show us that this is out of compliance with our ordinances. Is that correct? That might be a him question.
I'm pretty sure you're correct on that. It's a site plan. And the I don't know if Andrew, if you know offhand what the general plan calls for the two zones on that lot, but I don't think either one, either the general plan is, I don't think it's ever going to be a 2.5 for very long, because there's no one wants to build a house on that piece of property. And so I think that they've had several times when we've had several people look at it to put a commercial use of some sort on those properties. So at some point, I'm pretty sure they're going to get rezoned, and then they'll be rezoned, hopefully, correctly.
Presently, land use is stable neighborhood.
Stable neighborhood. So it might not then, but I don't think anybody wants to build a house on 98 South, and there's really not enough room for, well, there is enough room for the property that the city owns. Those 9828 South, city owns that property, but I don't think we plan on developing it for housing.
Okay.
Anyway.
Keep moving down. Commissioner Gedge?
Yeah, just my one question is, with the current road construction, deconstruction, reconstruction, and deconstruction again on Temple Drive in this area, any concerns from engineering with putting this in at this time with, you know, 13th West basically, you know, being closed a lot of time in this intersection, in this area? Any concerns with putting in additional utility work with trucks accessing this property with traffic flow and or tapping into the utility lines for other utilities that are in this area?
No. In fact, if you wanted to talk to the applicant, I'm assuming that it would phase well with the project that they're undergoing. They're the ones that are doing the construction in 1300 West right now. So it would be ideal to get them in and out all in once rather than spreading it out.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
I'm curious about the 9804 South and the emergency access on the west side that was mentioned. What if they were to, you know, access the property that way, what would they be driving over? Whose property is that?
Oh, and is there an easement?
Yeah,
that's a great question.
Dominion owns the entire sliver between of what's coded as the 9004 South Temple Drive in the two zones.
Okay.
Going to their site plan here, it is a graded compact gravel facility, I believe, that the applicant can correct me on if they're here. And then they can also speak to additional easement work that you see on this right here. The reason that their corner in the top right is as less square as it is the boulders, it's their property, and they want to discourage the neighbor to the north from continuing to park on it. And they also want to, there is a Rocky Mountain pole located there, so they don't want to enclose that. So they've kind of fenced around it and then put their man door on that side. And then they do have an easement for their overhead lines that they have been in contact with, and their paperwork is in the packet. The sewer easement, which the applicant can speak more to on the current process to abandon it, since it's been relocated with the realignment of the road. And then the Lambton Farms property one that you see is a private irrigation easement, which the city doesn't track being private. The best that we can do is provide contact information at most, maybe, to who they could speak to. It just as an FYI that we don't track or require additional work or easement release letters on their end, just to say, hey, that this might be something you want to look into, just in case, to go on record that you're trying to do some homework on in case something happens and they need to access it, which they've also been in contact with, and that paperwork is also in the packet as well. But the gate is also there, and they can speak more to their emergency procedures. If something was to happen, the closest exit to get out and away from.
Okay, thank you.
Is either Mr. Mulvey or Mr. Howard present this evening? Would you state who you are and we'll get it on record?
I'm Kevin Mulvey, a consultant for Dominion. And
Alex Howard with Dominion.
Okay. What can you add to the staff report? Tell us a little bit about what this accomplishes, how big it is, what it does.
So the valve, so the line that is being installed in 1300 West is a replacement line for the current line that's in there. It's a 20-inch. All new piping will be 24-inch. It is just slated for replacement based on federal DOT standards. And based on the valving and federal code, we have to replace these valve sites at X amount of miles based on pipe that has been replaced. And this does that. It also helps, gives us another, there's a line that feeds west down 9800 South that feeds the South Jordan area. So there's the valve site with the automatic shutoff valve that will control if there's any damage to the line, or it senses pressure regulation. So if there's a sense of more pressure or less pressure in one side of the line, it'll shut that valve off, but it also provides gas to the west from an existing tap line that's there to feed off 9800 South. And then the site is, you know, based on what we've drawn up for the sizing.
Okay, I assume, I mean, you indicated some automatic sensing and shut off. Does it also have the ability to remotely?
Yes.
By Dominion, okay.
Yeah.
What type of security protocols are you putting into place to ensure that nobody goes and messes with?
Yeah, so the gates will be locked with only access by Dominion Energy Same with both sides of the gates, so there'll be locks that way. And then each valve has their own locks on them that only certain personnel in Dominion Energy have access to. So there's
so
things like that.
You cannot manually walk in without a...
Yeah, you have to have a key to enter the facility, another key to operate valves, and things like that. So there's a lot of security precautions that we take to make sure not everybody in the company has access to that. It's only certain personnel and certain departments have access.
What type of maintenance do you anticipate you'll do on this site?
They're going to be in there not as, it'll be during normal business hours, and it's very irregular. We do have to go turn valves once a quarter based on federal code to make sure they're operational, and that maintenance is handled during business hours.
Okay. Commissioners, questions?
I just have a question.
Yeah.
There's an emergency exit on the west that we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Any potential threats posed to the neighbors?
No. No. Yeah. So the gates on the west, if they're in there operating, they'll be locked the same way as the ones on the east. Most likely, they'll pull their truck in on coming in off 1300 West. They'll open those gates. So if there is something that happens, they will be able to leave. Usually, it'd be gas escaping that's uncontrolled until the valve does its job.
And would it be any different, more or less risk with or without the building?
No.
There you go. Thanks.
I assume the same odorant that's in our homes.
Yeah.
So if there were a leak, it would be detectable.
For sure.
Do you have any sort of sensing alarms located on site, flammable gas detection or...
I'm not 100% sure. I think there should be in the way the valve works, it's all controlled that way. Yeah, it's automatically, it's all pressurized. But odorant-wise, usually there's not an odorant in most facilities that will sense as odorant throughout our whole system. It's just if we, someone smells the gas, then we can go and investigate.
Right, but a flammable gas detector would... pick up methane, right?
Yes, but it's not in the site. It's not required for federal code.
Okay. All right. Thank you for coming tonight. We may call you back up if questions come up during public comment.
Thank you.
All right. At this time, we're going to open up this item to public comment. We invite you to come to the podium if you've joined us this evening to speak to this item. We're going to start with the people in our auditorium. Are any of you here to speak to this item? Okay, we're going to turn to online. Same offer, we just ask that you please turn on your camera, and we'll ask that you unmute if you've come to speak to this item. Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. I thought this was one that might bring some concern, which would be understandable. Certainly, it's one of those items where you don't want to live next to it, but you're grateful that it exists, obviously. So I don't have any further comments since nothing's been presented to indicate that this is out of compliance with our code or ordinances, and it apparently brings it into compliance with federal standards. So,
and I like the timing, how it's aligned with the Temple Drive reconstruction that's ongoing right now too, so that way we don't have to have a secondary closure of one lane traffic for the next 2 or 3 years. Sorry, there's a comment on that one, but Madam,
we didn't ask when this is going to occur.
Hoping that this project is done sooner than later, I move, Madam Chair, based on the testimony, I'd like to make a motion, please.
Proceed.
I move that based on the staff report and the testimony received this evening and our discussion, I move that we, the Planning Commission, approve the site plan application, file number PLSPR 2023-00143. I already said that.
Okay, we have a motion. Any discussion? All right, I will second that. Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Gatch?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay, the item passes 5-0. Mr. Mulvey and Howard, thank you again for participating this evening.
Thank you.
All right, our last item under our administrative public hearings is item H3, an accessory building conditional use permit for the architectural standards of accessory buildings in R1.8 zone. And Andrew has our staff report.
Thank you, Commissioner. This one's going to sound familiar to a few and new to others. We are returning to 2530 West, 10950 South. This is an item that the commission has seen before on the October 11th, 2022 commission meeting. We are on 10950 South, which doesn't entirely go all the way through, just west of the Escritarian Center facility, USU facility. The subject property, it's not part of recorded subdivision, and we don't know of any CC&Rs, covenants, conditions, and restrictions that would limit it, but that would be a civil matter between the owners and any private parties if they did exist to resolve that on whoever wants to enforce those. We did come to our attention that the ditch master did inform us and describe that each site does have a private irrigation line, again, which we don't track or record being a private irrigation line. If you kind of look to the left side of this screen where these two smaller parcels have their adjoining line and then bisect the larger parcels, that's roughly where it is. So it doesn't interfere with what's being proposed. So staff isn't requiring additional requirements, no easement or encroachment letters or anything additional of the applicant or property owners. What's being proposed is to construct a detached garage in the in the rear yard, similar to what was proposed before, specifically requesting similar exceptions with the overall height of the building being taller than the existing home, the footprint exceeding the footprint of the existing home, and the average wall height exceeding 16 feet when the building is within 20 feet of property lines. It's if you look at this location map in the top left corner, this garage is kind of meant to replace that structure, which they did receive the proper permits and demolition permits and every the documentation that you have to go through the DEQ and the health department to do that permit. And through our reports, that has since been demolished through the applicants and property owners reports. And this is back before you because the original approval expired and no extension request was given. And referring to the meetings from that minute, which were included in that packet, there were some concerns expressed by residents and by the commission that were also introduced into the decisions for certain motions that the applicant and property owner have considered in the redesign. Because it was redesigned, we do have to reevaluate the decision and bring it back before you. And so it does defer on that ground. Since you've seen it back in 2022, it has rezoned to an R1.8. So it does give them a larger building coverage, which works to their advantage because they can make a larger use of their property without that restriction. In this case, currently, without the building and just their existing home, they're at 6%. But when you include their home and what they're proposing, they're at 21%. If we kept them at the A5, they would be out of compliance with code. So the rezone helped them progress their way towards this proposal. On the left, you're going to see the old site plan that was presented in the former meeting. And on the right, you're going to see the amendments that are being presented in this current application. Access is going to be an existing approach that's roughly 36 to 37 feet wide off of 10950 South. You can see it on the right side of the screen where it's a dirt road to the back. On the right side where you see the newer proposal, that access goes straight back to the new building where you see a new concrete pavement. Our code does require that from 10950 to that pavement, they will have to extend that with concrete or asphalt. It's their choice which to do, but that it does have to be either or. They do have, looking on the left, because it's a bit more zoomed out, an access on the left from their existing driveway and that existing concrete pad in the back that's just under 15 feet. It's wide enough to get some cars back there, and they can still use that, but they do have an RV motorhome that was brought up in the previous commission discussion. So it is a tight fit, and so the access off of the other side of the property would be more suited for that. They could use both. They have the existing approaches, and both are suitable for that. There isn't going to be any farm animals, no business activity or commercial activity. which was a big concern with both the commission and residents brought up at the former meeting. Within that packet, you'll also see a response that was provided by the applicant, but in conference with the property owner on responses to staff's questions that are pertaining to questions from the current application and then those major concerns from that original application in 2022. Their intent for this building is for personal storage, recreational vehicles, other automobiles, equipment, et cetera, of personal nature. And it will have electrical, HVAC, plumbing, so they can heat the space. They can have a half bath, but they do not intend to have habitable living space within this structure. As you can see on the new site plan, they have increased the setbacks on the north and west side from 10 feet to 20 feet, which is in the staff report. There is a typo error that mentions different numbers. I apologize for that. What you see on the site plan is what we're reporting on the new setbacks with changes made coming from the property owner. And then they, on the east one, you see a 12-foot setback, and they increased on the top part of the screen from the edge of the building to the closest corner of the neighboring property to the north. They've increased it by about 8.5 feet or so, give or take, in comparison to the dimension that you see, the 40 feet and a quarter or so that you see on the left side of the screen. The property owner has been talking to their neighbors and building those relations on this redesign since you've last seen them back in 2022 as part of the community nature that was brought up by Commissioner Gedge and kind of building that nature and working with them and kind of coming to a compromise on this proposal. What you see on the left was a 6,400 square foot proposal, and what you see on the right is now a 6,000 square foot proposal. So we have reduced it a little bit. On the left, you still see the old drawings. And on the right, you see what's now being proposed. We don't have any second stories or second story levels or balconies, windows. There aren't any windows being proposed with the new building. They've increased it to 20 feet so that they can consider maybe the idea of in the future to help with light, kind of maybe play with that possibility, but they're not sure yet, so they excluded those from the designs and increased the setback. The three openings on the right are garage door openings, ranging 12 feet, 14 and 14, with two man doors and a sliding door, and they're both on the south elevation facing towards the house. And those are the only access points into the building. Nothing faces the neighbors. The material is still a metal prefab, which is the same as what it was proposed before, since our code doesn't have any requirements other that it's low maintenance and it's durable. However, the owner has expressed that they want to match the exterior of it with the color scheme of the existing home, which has like the earthy reds and brown orange masonry brick tones. The existing home is more of a classic brick facade with the shingle roof. The overall height that's being proposed is 22 feet and 4 inches with a 17 foot roughly on the home. So we do exceed the home roughly by 5 feet, 4 inches as part of the conditional use request. And the average wall height is 18 feet. And the restriction is 16 feet when you're within 20 feet of the property line, which also was a big issue on the last commission meeting. When you think about it, when you're within 20 feet of the property line, you restrict the building to a certain size to kind of help deal with the impact of getting closer to your neighbors. And then once you start wanting to mess with the wall height or overall height, then you start looking into what that can cause. And that's kind of the idea behind the increase of the wall height when you're within 20 feet of the property line. In this case, with the north and the west being changed, that's not the issue anymore. But on the east property line, we're at 12 feet. So we do have to consider that there, with the overall average being 18 compared to the 16 restriction. The owner has been in discussion with that neighbor. That neighbor does support the decision for them to do that. Reasoning being that the taller building would, you can kind of see in this aerial that they do have existing like an outbuilding right there. The taller building does kind of help shelter that building a little bit from the elements in relation to wind, wind stress and snow loads from building up on it, which was part of that rationale and kind of supporting it in with that 12 foot setback difference, which does exceed the minimum 10 foot that we would require with the projected height restriction. With the proposed size being reduced to 6,000, we still have that size concern from before, but that isn't too abnormal for the area with the shape being reconfigured. If we circle back to the first slide here, you do see large accessory buildings in the area, which were in discussion from the first commission meeting, brought up both by commission, staff, and residents in comment. If you look at the property adjacent just to the east, the setback's about 6 to 10 feet. It was difficult to find a permit to get exact references for you, but overall it's about 2,400 square feet. So maybe roughly a third or between a third and a half of what's being proposed. But the ones in question, if we were to look to the south, it's a little cut off, but directly to the south, you see a larger building that, according to the building permit, is 5,000 square feet. Its setbacks to its property lines on the sides are 40 feet, and then the rear part of the building to the fence is 22, which was a question brought up by Commissioner Hollis in your discussion from previous commission in concern. And then the building adjacent to that to the east, their building is set back 20 feet from the south and 6 feet from the east. Their overall height is 17 feet and their size is 6,250. So what is being proposed is less than what was proposed before by the applicant, less than what the neighbor across the street has done. So we're kind of mid-range of what the neighbors across the street have done. And the neighbor's overall height across the street with the 5,000 building was 19 feet. So we're just a little taller on comparison difference-wise. We haven't received any written comment prior tonight. We haven't received any substantial evidence to suggest a detrimental effect on property values or anything related to a heat island effect. As discussed in the last October 11th meeting, staff sees no detrimental effects based upon the present application being presented and is recommending approval of the application with no conditions.
Okay, thank you. Commissioners, questions? We have two new people since then.
Andrew, when did we see the rezone on this? Was this last year?
Yes, it was. City Council approved it in January and Commission saw it, I want to say October.
Okay. Because I think we saw some variation of this building at that meeting, but did not approve anything regarding the building at that point, right?
You saw an ideal concept as part of the rezone.
Okay.
Questions?
You mentioned the two properties across the street, but how many other nearby properties have buildings with a height greater than 16 feet?
Not too many.
But the ones directly across do exceed 16 feet?
Yes, one the directly south 19 to that 17.
But it's not 16 feet that's critical here. It's compared to the main structure. And then the offset is where the 16 feet comes in, correct?
The wall height to property line distance.
Yeah.
And then go ahead.
I'm sorry. The one directly to the south was small enough that it was done through building permit process without having to come before you. But the one to the right was large enough that it did come before the commission in January of 2022 before getting building permit approval shortly following that.
And then would any new approval be needed if they decide to add windows at a future point?
If they change their approval, we would have to come back to modify approval.
Just to follow up on that, and from the previous meeting, and you mentioned in your report, but there are no proposals for accessory dwelling unit parts. They would have to apply for that separately if they were to occupy that. And of course, my other concern I know from that meet, one of my concerns from that last meeting was, I guess, businesses being run out of this proposed building, they would have to apply for proper business licenses if they were to do that in this property, correct?
Right, they would have to do an EDU guest house approval, which we could allow under a prior use because it has the setbacks under these proposals of at least 10 feet. But we would still have the size restrictions of the actual space. It couldn't be the full building of it, and we would have to look at that when they make an official application, which they have expressed they don't have the interest or intent to do. There is no current business taking place. They don't want to, as they've expressed in their written statements in the report. They have expressed a window tinting business in the past that has no interest in continuing. If that changes, and they leave the site, they have no one coming to them. Our business license division exempts them from requiring a license through the city.
Great. And I know your report just now, you mentioned that they are not planning on having animal rights, but because they're now rezoned R1-8 and they are larger than a half an acre at 0.92, technically they could be afforded per the point system of the city if they so choose.
They would still have the same animal rights as the previous report.
Just because that came up in last week's city council, I just want to make sure that's on the record. So, okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, I think we're going to move to public. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Is Mr. Pope present this evening? No. Okay, then we will not have him add anything to the staff report. At this time, I'm going to open up this item to public comment. If you've joined us this evening to speak to this item, we'd invite you to come to the podium to address the commission. Please state your name and where you reside, and you may present the evidence that you have related to this item.
Good evening. My name's Kent Owens. I 2531 West. Just south of their location. My wife and I have no issue with them putting a building in such as that size. They're outstanding neighbors, very cognizant of other people's feelings and of course rights. So we as neighbors do not have a problem with it at all. So.
Thank you, Mr. Owens. Well, I feel bad because I didn't hear. It's really sad for me. All right, did anybody else in the auditorium want to address the commission on this item?
Do you guys want us to answer your question?
Madam Chair, they are not the applicant, but they're the owners of the property.
Why don't you come and add to the discussion with the official public comment time?
It's a little different seeing this place empty versus like a bunch of other people here. Sorry, I'm kind of, I got a head cold. a couple days ago, and it's hard to talk, but since the last time that we came here, we have talked with all the neighbors and tried to extinguish any problems that they had with the building, specifically the ones to the north, which I don't see them here today. They didn't seem like they had a problem with it, but he never responded to me. We had talked about a 15-foot setback the last meeting that we left here after you guys had already approved the building. We agreed to him that we would move it 15 feet, and then I talked to him after we left here, and 20 feet was, he was more than happy with that, to the guy to the north. I also talked to the family to the west. They're a young family that just moved in there, and they were okay with the building 10 feet away, but we also offer to be 20 feet off that side as well. We made the building smaller. The height is still the same because we need the overhead door to be able to get the RV in there. That's the only reason on the height. And also, the building was approved when the property wasn't zoned for that much building space available. And there's a few other properties that are in the neighborhood currently that 2 years ago there were permits passed that those buildings shouldn't have been passed in the city council meeting. So we went through all the steps that were required to be able to have this building, and that's why we're back here today.
Would you state your name for the records?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Bruce Duvall, and I reside at 2530 West, 10950 South.
Commissioners, I would like to move to allow the commission to address this citizen comment. This citizen, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Duvall, any opposed? Okay, Mr. Duvall, so thank you for addressing the setback items. The one setback that I'm still a little concerned about is the 12-foot, and you didn't mention your neighbor to the east.
We had talked to him about it. He was actually here tonight and just said that he had no problem with it. But we're only required to be 10 feet off the property line with this height. 8 feet if we're at 16 feet tall, and then it adds an additional foot for each foot that you go up. So 12 is still 2 feet farther than what is required by the city.
Okay. Can you confirm that, Andrew? In my head, I had that it was 20.
They're proposing 20 with the offset 20 to be more in line with discussion from the previous commission and conversation with neighbors.
But the 12-foot side is the one I'm talking about. It's not required to have a 12-foot offset on the east side?
No, if they were maxing out at 25. On the overall, you require a 12-foot minimum.
Okay. Could you tell the commission what you plan to do with this building?
Before we were going to have farm animals, but we've since changed our mind. We just got chickens instead. We're just going to keep all of our cars parked in there. We have, quite a few cars, a couple RVs, four-wheelers, motorcycles. And the cars that sit out back are kind of an eyesore, and we want to get them inside of the building away out of the weather as well. That's all we plan on doing with the building. So we just need, somewhere to wash our hands so we don't come in our house dirty, and somewhere to use the bathroom so we don't have to go inside. That's pretty much it.
But you can confirm no anticipated living in this building?
No. Nope. Just like rodents, like mice.
Commissioner, questions while we have him?
If I recall, it's your aunt that's the property owner, is that correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So staff, do we have the correct documentation on this one that's Mr. Pope is Duvall? Well, Mr. Pope is legally the applicant, and Mr. Duvall has the right to speak for her.
Yes, Robbie Pope is the authorized applicant, and then the nephew?
Yes.
As chosen representatives, just come up and speak on behalf.
And all the application stuff was signed by the property owner, not by me. I'm just here to represent and help, communicate these things. Okay. So.
Right. Anything down here?
Not for the applicant.
Okay, thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sure.
How many people have yelled at you about this in the last 6 months?
The building or the cars?
The building.
nobody, not in the last 6 months. Before this, in 2022, we had quite the audience. I think that you were new. We had quite the audience here in 2022, and Zoom calls and several other problems. So we've try to take care as much as we can.
Awesome.
So, thank you.
All right. Is there anybody else in the auditorium that would like to speak to this item? Okay, we're going to turn to our Zoom format. If you've joined us and you'd like to address the commission on this item, we'd ask that you please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay, I'm going to close public comment and bring this back to the commission. Commissioners?
Just one comment for me, and this is all Commissioner Bevins. Just, and I had my one comment at a city council meeting last week during a public testimony. It was very similar. I mean, we have the applicant who's an authorized representative, and you have the property owner. So if there's just a way in the staff report or the application to make that more clear to both either the planning commission, the city council, or the residents who have come to find out more about that information, so that way we know who to properly recognize, but also ask questions to, just as an ask move moving forward. Just because it's back-to-back Tuesdays where I've now experienced that. Just an ask. But I want to thank the applicants and working, taking the time to, as Mr. Weber said, how many people have, you know, yelled at me the last 6 months. It's been 2+ years, long, hard-fought battle. And so thank you for listening to the neighborhood and working with city staff on that as well. And just one last thing, I know I appreciate Andrew putting in all the public notices and what was there and notified. If there's any way that we can help the applicants in the future when they get close to their 1 year expiring to let them know that it's going to expire. I know it says there's no further notification, but there's something we can do to help applicants, because going through the city can be a sometimes difficult process for those who don't do this. And so if there's any type of reminders or something we can do, even as a courtesy, maybe not a requirement, but just ask that. But at this point, it worked out good because I think it's going to be a better building for this location. But yeah, I feel bad for sometimes for just the residents, the applicants. They have to come back and go through the process, and government's not sometimes the easiest thing to deal with.
Just to kind of echo what Commissioner Gitch said, this is much more palatable this time. I know we definitely had a full room the last couple of times we've seen this. We do definitely appreciate you working with the neighbors. Along the lines with what Commissioner Wimmer said, you were not the only one to get nasty grams on this. I do remember we got some after that meeting as well. So we definitely appreciate you coming back to us with this, and I am in full support of this. It looks great this time.
I agree with what's been said. I always have concerns with exceptions to ordinances, but there doesn't seem to be the same concerns from your neighbors. And so, Andrew, I appreciate finding similar things in the area so that you can show us that it's not totally out of character. I do think lots like this are kind of unique. They're rare, becoming rarer in our city. And so I think for that reason, I'm willing to allow the exceptions being requested for this conditional use permit. Anything? Otherwise, I think we're ready.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I close public comment?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Madam Chair, if there's no other comments, I'd like to move forward with the motion, please. Based on the staff report, thank you for that, and the testimony presented this evening and our discussion, I move that we approve the conditional use permit file number PLCUP 2023, and of course my tablet turns off. 2300181 for the property located at 2530 West 10950 South.
Okay, we have a motion. We're good. All right, I'll second that. Ms. Valdez.
Commissioner Gitch?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollis?
Yes.
Commissioner Bishop?
Yes.
Commissioner Wimmer?
Aye.
And Commissioner Bevins?
Yes.
Okay, this item passes 5-0. Thank you for again coming to participate a second, third time. Whatever we're at, we wish you all the luck with your building. Have a good evening. Okay, we don't have any items under our legislative section of our agenda this evening, so we'll just move to other business. Staff, any business for us? Greg, you want to tell us what our agenda is looking like in a couple weeks?
I don't know. I spent the entire last 2 days flying back from Texas, so I haven't. I got here at 6:15 today, so I don't know. I didn't look it up, but I know I don't have anything scheduled for the next agenda, but I don't know about Andrew.
There isn't anything.
Okay, we may.
All right. That might be a nice way to start the summer. Commissioners, if we do have a June 11th meeting, however, is there anybody that will have an issue with attending?
I might. Let you know. Thank you. Way in advance. It's my husband's birthday, so.
All right.
I got to be careful with that one.
Okay.
I will miss our next two meetings, at least in person.
Okay. Commissioners, should we discuss?
Yes.
The ability to participate remotely? Is that a, like, last resort, or is that something we want to have as part of our operating procedures?
What does council allow?
They do. I've seen. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Because since we were earlier said we would follow council.
Okay, that sounds great. All right. Then if you're willing, we'll take you. All right. So remote the next two for Mr. Wimmer.
And I don't know if the next few items with summer are low or very few items. Do we want to put some burden on our friends to the left of us on training for our last hour or two that we have?
How is our Google Doc going? The last time I looked was over a week ago, but it was just the two items I threw on there.
Yeah, I checked today and it was the two.
Let's have some homework for ourselves and then we'll turn to staff.
Okay. I have one thing I might want to, just that a strange agenda section that's shown up. I've been thinking about it during the meeting. I think it's a mistake on this one because the only place I've ever seen agenda section is on the city council's study session agenda, because they go over, they have that section, agenda session section, so they can maybe just, they go over that in their study session as well, just saying, oh, this is what's coming up on our regular meeting. And I don't know how that got in here, though, because you don't usually have a study session. So, and it also, by putting that as item E, or the you don't have, it used to say Planning Commission comments. So
that's why I got, okay, because so, I have staff business, and then I thought, where's our business?
Right, so.
All right.
We only have one meeting in July, right?
I think so.
Madam Chair, I've got something that I'd like to talk about a little bit. I've been thinking about our meeting 2 weeks ago and the conditional use permit discussion regarding the townhome project that we were talking about. And there was a mention that it was not in alignment with our general plan, right? And I was curious, like, how exactly it differed. And then the other thing I was wondering was, we talked about, I will say that I do remember that that fell under the development agreement from 20 years ago, right? But then we were talking about, okay, what conditions can we impose given that it's a conditional use permit? And would it be legitimate to say, well, we'd like you to align with our general plan? Is that acceptable, or is that like end running around the development agreement? Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
looking at that guy though, because he's gonna know the answer.
Yeah, in terms of conditions, it seems like we have to, you know, it can't be arbitrary. We need to have some like thought behind it, and it seems like the general plan would provide that. But anyway, that's what I've been wondering.
So I'm not remembering the specific discussion, but I assume from what you're saying about 20 years ago, we're talking about a daybreak development. Are we not?
The districts, yeah. So it's
district, you're right, it was the district.
Yeah.
There's some townhomes that are going on right next to Bangor's, just north of where the restaurants are over there on River Heights Drive.
And I'm just gonna say I don't have enough here and now to be able to, you're certainly getting all the general rules right.
Okay.
you know, about conditional use permits and about compliance with the general plan as to why that wasn't followed here. I'd have to go back and research and get to the bottom of that.
Were you thinking specifically the number of access points to that community? I can't remember. Or was it the density?
Landscaping, like amenities. Density. I don't know what kind. Yeah.
Because the number of access points to neighborhoods is often one that people come in and expect to be out of compliance with. We usually require two. Mm. And often there's only one just for emergency access. That's a good idea.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, how far is it from the park that's mm-hmm. down the road, all that sort of stuff.
I'm glad that they were amenable to conceding to some of the points that we requested.
Can I ask just a question regarding that item as well, just real quick? We received an email the next day. Mm-hmm. Does that get, because it was after the meeting, that's not entered into the public record, correct? That's just for information only and nothing that will be recorded, correct?
I think so.
As far as I know, yeah.
So I'm thinking like after down the meeting, road, public records request. It's too bad. It's so sad. You missed the meeting. Okay.
Which is too bad because they had legitimate concerns.
You could read it in the site plan.
I will say this, that if somebody is convinced an error has been made, as a general rule on land use decisions of this planning commission or of staff, or even the city council, you have 10 days to file an appeal to the city's land use authority.
I think we'll see that later site at plan. Site plan. Yeah, I think we'll see more on that at site plan.
Yeah. I think it would be appropriate to bring up that we got feedback or a concern raised. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Okay. I'm going to move that we adjourn then.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Let's go.